If you have your Bibles this morning, I invite you to open to the Gospel according to St. John, chapter 20, beginning with verse 19. John, chapter 20, verse 19. A reading from the Gospel according to St. John, chapter 20, beginning with verse 19. Hear now these words. When it was evening on that day, the first day of the week, the doors of the house where the disciples had met were locked for fear of the Jews. Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." After he said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples rejoiced when they saw the Lord. Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I send you." When he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they were forgiven them. If you retain the sins of any, they were retained." But Thomas, who was called the twin, one of the 12, was not with them when Jesus came. So their disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see the mark of the nails in his hands, or put my finger in the mark of the nails, and put my hand in his side, I will not believe." A week later, his disciples were again in the house, and Thomas was with them. Although the doors were shut, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your fingers here and see my hands. Reach out your hand and put it on my side. Do not doubt, but believe." Thomas answered him, "My Lord and my God." Jesus said to him, "Have you believed because you have seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen, and yet have come to believe." Now Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written so you may come to believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that through believing you may have life in his name. My friends, is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. So this morning we continue the celebration of Easter. As I try to emphasize this time of year, Easter is not one that we're done, as it is out in the society. But rather it is a season, because for 40 days, Jesus appeared to the disciples, showing many signs and proofs of his resurrection. Now, last week when I spoke to you, I talked about the two travelers to the road to Emmaus, okay? And we last saw them. They had left Emmaus, went back to Jerusalem, met the disciples, and said, "The Lord is risen." And they said, "Yes, he has. He has appeared to Simon Peter." And so Luke also tells about how Jesus appeared that evening, as well as John. Now, they're not identical accounts, but they're very similar. Okay? In both occasions, when you look at him, Jesus appears, and the first thing he says is, "Peace be with you." You see, Jesus is our source of peace. He is the Prince of Peace. And Luke's gospel is kind of fun because it talks about how when he first appears, it scares him. Now, think about that. That'd be like if you all were out here in the fellowship hall eating and such, and a person you love, respected, was involved in a terrible car wreck, and you had the funeral and such, and all once while you're eating, that person just appeared in your presence. It would scare you, because you weren't expecting it. You see, Jesus didn't come walking through the front door or the back door. He just appeared. And they thought the first thing we probably thought in our society, they thought, this must be a ghost, right? Because ghosts, you know, they always just kind of appear and disappear and do that kind of crazy stuff. And even way back then, people believed in ghost stories. And really, for a Christian, a ghost is just your soul and spirit and just not in the right location. And so they're looking at all each other, scared. And then Jesus just says, "I'm not a ghost." And then I just love this little part where he says, "Give me something to eat." And so they gave him some fish. And Luke's gospel, Jesus sits down and begins to eat some fish. Again, that'd be like you're back here and somebody disappeared and you think it's a ghost. And the ghost says, "Give me some of that Captain D's you got there," and sits down and eats it. And everybody's watching Jesus. And Jesus over there just, that was good. It's really him. I mean, it's really Jesus. And then they reach out and touch him, and he's warm, he's got a pulse. No, this is not just some apparition. This is a flesh and blood human being who a few days ago was really murdered, and now here he is healed in our presence. No. And then Jesus tells him in Luke's gospel, "These are my words I spoke to you while I was still with you. Everything written about me in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms must be fulfilled." Then he opened their mind to understand the scriptures. Okay, that's very similar to what happened with those two individuals, Cleopas and his wife, probably, on the road to Emmaus, when Jesus went through the Jewish scriptures, our Old Testament, and explained it to them. And he said to them, "Thus is written, the Messiah is to suffer and to rise on the day of the third day, and that repentance and forgiveness of sins is to be proclaimed in his name to all nations, beginning from Jerusalem." And so we see this theme of repentance and forgiveness. Jesus came and died on the cross and was risen again. Why? So we can repent from our sins and find forgiveness and be reconciled with the Heavenly Father. And it's interesting how in John's gospel, it's very similar. It says, "After this, he showed him his hands and his side. The disciples rejoiced and they saw that it was the Lord. And Jesus said to them, 'Peace be with you. As the Father sent me, so I send you.' When he said this, he breathed them and said to them, 'Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained.'" So again, you see in both Luke and John, there's that theme of forgiveness. Forgiveness. Your job is to spread the message of forgiveness throughout the nations. And apparently they got a small dose of the Holy Spirit, you know, kind of like a prelude, because sometimes in the Old Testament, the Holy Spirit would fall upon people for a short period of time, and they received it for a little bit of time, kind of restore their strength. But it won't be until Pentecost Sunday when they really receive the Holy Spirit. Well, everybody was excited and happy about this. Only problem was, somebody wasn't there. Thomas wasn't there. Apparently, Thomas came in late. Now, I would like to say that I purposely came in late this morning to be like Thomas. But I can't say that because it just only hit me now. I'm like, you know, I was kind of like Thomas this morning. I came in late. So Thomas came in late. "Oh, Thomas, you should have been here. Jesus appeared to us. We were here and he just, there he was. And he ate some fish and we were talking to him. He showed us hands. No, he's alive. And he had a little Bible study with us. Oh, man, Thomas, you should have been here on time." And Thomas said, "Unless I see the mark, the nails in his hands, or put my finger in the mark of the nails, and my hand in his side, I will not believe." You see, Thomas wanted some hard, cold evidence. It wasn't enough that somebody said they saw him. He wanted some proof. Now, Thomas gets a bad rap, and that's kind of unfortunate because, in John's Gospel, we see Thomas several times when Jesus tells his disciples, "Lazarus has died, we must go, I must go wake him up." And they're like, "Jesus, excuse me, don't you recall last time we were in Judea near Jerusalem, they about stoned us to death. Let's not do this." And Thomas says, "Well, let's go die with the master. No, he's on the death mission. We'll go along with him." You know? And then later on, at one of the last meals of Holy Week, Thomas says, "Well, Lord, you know, where are you going to? You know, we don't know where you're going to." And Jesus says, "Well, I am the way, the truth, and life. No man comes to the Father except by me." So I'm glad Thomas spoke up and asked that question, because then we got a really great answer in our scriptures. But, you know, Thomas wanted some hard proof evidence. You know, and evidence can make or break a case. And the reliability of the person with the evidence can make or break a case. Now, I think it was, what, last week or 2 weeks ago, a certain individual passed away. A beloved football player, then a Hertz commercial guy. And I don't remember from that. I remember him because mom turned that TV on every day to CNN. And the never-ending news cycle about the O.J. Simpson trial was on. You guys remember that? I mean, it went on, what, 9 months? Forever. It was ridiculous how long it lasted. Because I still remember her watching, I think it was Larry King Live, when they were following that white Bronco down the highway, and they got to his house, you know. And, man, it was a soap opera, you know. And I was watching some documentaries about it, kind of refreshed my memory about it, you know. And there were certain things I remember very well, and things like, you know, Mr. Simpson been on the gloves, remember that? And he's all like, these gloves don't fit. Well, I thought, well, they wouldn't fit me either if I was on trial, right? And, you know, and I just still blows my mind the prosecution was dumb enough to fall for that. And then Mr. Mark Furman, have you ever used this word? No, no, no. Have you ever used it in the past 10 years? No, no. Are you sure? Oh, I'm sure. No, and everybody in the world knew what was coming next except for Mark Furman, I'm saying, right? He was just clueless. No, and what really sunk that boat, you know, was the fact that you had a bad apple on that stand. And at one point, I asked him, Mr. Furman, Detective Furman, did you plant any evidence in this case? And he said, I plead the fifth. And then it made a lot of folks in the jury wonder, what else did he lie about? No, all the other evidence is there, but you had that one bad apple, had the question mark. No, and that's really was a fair on the police and the prosecution. And then it wasn't ironic how, what, 2 years later, the family had a civil trial, and this time the tables got reversed. Mr. Simpson, have you ever worn these kind of shoes? Oh, no, 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 no. Those shoes are ugly. I wouldn't wear those ugly shoes. They're ugly, ugly. Are you sure? Oh, I'm sure. Mr. Simpson, I have a picture. Is that you in that picture? Yeah, that's me. What kind of shoes are you wearing? Those ugly shoes you're talking about. Call him a lie. You know, of course, he was found guilty. And then, I guess in some sense, there is justice, because in years later, he thought it'd be a wise idea to go into that pawn shop in Las Vegas with some guns and get some of his stuff back. And then on the very same date in history that he was found not guilty, another jury said guilty. And the judge sends him from 9 to 33 years. And it's kind of like, no, OJ, you got away with the evidence one time, but you didn't get away with it the second time. What is the evidence? Evidence can make you or break you. And Thomas wants to see some evidence. Well, a week later, they're gathered together, and this time Jesus appears again and says, peace be with you. And then he turns looking at old Thomas. And notice he doesn't yell at Thomas. He doesn't scream at him. Doesn't do anything. Jesus, this being Jesus, says, Thomas, put your fingers here and see my hands. Reach out your hand and put it in my side. Do not doubt, but believe. And what's interesting is, it doesn't say that Thomas actually did any of that. It doesn't say he actually put his hands in Jesus' hands or his side. It just means that Thomas said to him, my Lord and my God. When Thomas saw the risen Jesus, he believed. And then Jesus said to him, have you believed because you have seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have come to believe. Now, who is Jesus talking about? Blessed are those who have not seen yet have come to believe. Who is he talking about? Yeah, talking about you guys, talking about me. He's talking about the family of God, Methodist, Baptist, Catholic, Presbyterian, Church of Christ, any individual who has come to believe that Jesus, the Son of God, has a blessing in our society. Because even though you have not seen the risen Lord and Savior like Thomas has, although you do not have the opportunity to put your fingers in his hand and his side, you have come to believe. And because of that, there is a special blessing on your life. And then listen to these two final verses in this chapter. Now Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. John says, y'all, this book is just a short version of what happened. This is the cliff notes. I didn't have enough time, enough paper, write down everything he did. I'm just giving you the highlights. In John's gospel, there are seven signs, miracles he talks about, starting with turning water to wine and to the raising of Lazarus from the dead. But John says, I want you to know it was more than seven. There were many other signs that Jesus performed. But these are written down so that you do what? May come to believe. Throughout John's gospel, there's always that emphasis on belief, believing in Jesus, who he is. You probably know that best through that conversation Jesus had with Nicodemus, John chapter 3, when it says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. So it says, but these are written so you may come to believe. What? Well, it's not the what, but the who. That Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God. Now, you say, well, that sounds a little familiar, that phrase, Messiah, the Son of God. Well, probably because if it does, you're thinking about when Jesus asked his disciples, who do people say that the Son of Man is? Oh, some say you're a prophet from the old times. Some say you're Elijah that's come back. Some think you're John the Baptist raised from the dead. But whom do you say that I am? And Peter, always being the first one to speak up, says, you are the Christ, the Messiah, the Son of the living God. That is the key of being a Christian, to believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Christ, that is the person who fulfilled all the Old Testament Jewish scriptures, and that he is the Son of God, that he has a special relationship to the Heavenly Father, not like ours, as we pray to him as our Creator, but rather he was part of that Holy Trinity. And that's why Jesus told Peter, blessed are you, Peter, for flesh and blood have not revealed this unto you, but my Father who is in heaven. And you are Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. What is the rock that the church is built on? It's built on this confession of faith that Peter said and that John writes, that you come to believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God. The fact is, you can have a building, and you can call it a church, but if you go inside and the people do not believe that Jesus is the Messiah, they do not believe he's the Son of God, you don't have a church. You might have a country club, you might have a cult, you might have a social group, but you do not have a church. The church, the believers, are those folks who have come together because even though they have not seen, they have come to believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Messiah, the Son of God. If you don't have that, you don't have a church. You can't have a church without believers. And if you're a believer, it's because you believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Messiah, the Son of God. And then John brings us home to that last phrase, and that through believing, you may have life in his name. There is only one name given under heaven by which men might be saved, as Peter said. And that's through the name of Jesus. We have songs about Jesus. There's just something about that name. That through believing, you may have life in his name. And that brings back, you know, when Jesus had that conversation with Martha outside the town of Bethany. as he was on his way to visit the tomb of Lazarus. And Martha was upset with Jesus and said, Lord, if you'd been here, my brother would not have died. And Jesus said, your brother will rise again. And Martha pushes back on that and said, yes, he'll rise again on the last day, judgment day, the resurrection of all, of us all. She's saying, what good is that going to do me? But I'm so glad she pushed back, because then she got this great answer. I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he may die, yet shall he live. And those who believe and live in me will never die. Do you believe this, Martha? Know us about that. Believing, life. Through believing, you may have life in his name. The reason Lazarus could be raised from the dead, because he believed that Jesus was the Messiah. And so when Jesus said, Lazarus, come forth, he came out of that tomb. And on the last day, excuse me, the resurrection morning, when we hear that voice say, children of God, come forth, all the children of God will burst through out of those graves, restored, resurrected. Why? Because they believe the name of Jesus, and there is life in his name. But these are written so that you may come to believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that through believing, you may have life in his name. And so my prayer this morning is that for all of you, and for your loved ones, that they too may come to believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that through believing, you may have life in his name, and that you may be blessed. And you're blessed because even though you have not seen, yet you have come to believe. Thanks be to God. Amen.